Happy holidays here from the Falcon Cast crew. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. I wish all your families Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you may celebrate.
Happy West Side.
Yeah, Happy West Side.
This is the win, man.
Oh, it's a win, man. I thought you would watch Straight Outta Compton over the weekend and were
up. East Coast, man, so I ain't worried about the West, but I'm talking about the W, though.
Okay. It was nice to get a W, but, you know, Merry Christmas to everybody out there and Happy Holidays. I will say this. I was talking to Bosek before we came on today and kind of asking him his first year traveling with the team, and we're finally done with the road portion of the schedule, at least the regular season road portion of the schedule, because there is still a chance, Jay.
There's still a chance
for the playoffs. It's still convoluted. It's tough, but, hey, keep hope alive.
We
just need Seattle to just, you know, not show up to a few games. That'd be good.
And Minnesota. And we have to win out. But, you know, again, there's still a chance. Jay came to me after the game in Jacksonville and goes, what's the math this week? And I go, I think we're eliminated. Oh, don't tell me that.
Right.
And then D-Led, thankfully, had done more research than I did, dug into the fact that, yes, you still have a chance. If there's a three-way tie at 9-7, the Falcons would get in.
Really?
Don't ask me how.
The three-way tiebreaker is amazing.
Right.
Right?
That is.
So if it was a two-way tiebreaker, we would have no chance because we
lost.
But a
three-way. Three-way works every time for you.
The three-way tiebreaker essentially takes Minnesota's win over us during the regular season and says this does not matter at all. And
can you explain that? How does it not matter?
So the three-way ties don't take head-to-heads into account. So it's convoluted, it's crazy, it's a little strange, but I don't care because there's still a chance.
So last week, John, you had a 2.7%. Mm-hmm. With the three-way tie, what's the percentage?
I have no idea. like 0.35, I think. It's not very much.
Like, let me tell you something. We need a Christmas miracle for this to happen, but the possibility is still there.
Yeah.
I like it.
Remember, Green Bay won a Super Bowl because DeSean Jackson fumbled a punt to allow them to get into the playoffs.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, so either way, there is a chance. We'll talk some Christmas here on the show today. Obviously, we'll talk about the win over Jacksonville, much-needed win over Jacksonville. And we'll spend some time talking about those stinking Carolina undefeated Panthers who are coming into town with trash-talking Josh Norman.
Ooh.
And I wanted to get into something that happened in their game a little bit later on. We'll break with Bosek. We'll give you a video of the week. Picks to click. There's still a chance for this guy to win or at least tie.
Amazingly.
And that's why you have to win out and you have to expect some things to happen from
us.
That's what it is.
You don't benefit from a three-way tiebreaker. No.
I think if there's a four-way tie, I do benefit.
Why? Because you came back?
Because I'm the newest guy and I should get the benefit of the doubt, I guess. I think that's how it's going to work out.
It's like prison rules. We make it up as we go, you know.
It's pretty much how it is.
Yeah.
I want to start the show with Christmas, and we'll get into the game as well. And Merry Christmas to all our fans out there that listen. And don't forget, check us out on iTunes. Look up Falcon Cast. You can subscribe, take us on the go, listen, do all that good stuff there. Appreciate all the interaction on Twitter. But Christmas coming up in a couple of days.
It's here.
Well, yeah.
When they're listening to it, it's here.
Or they could be listening Christmas Eve.
So you're waiting on Santa Claus to come down the chimney.
Yep.
And you're listening to the Falcon Cast.
Yes.
That sounds like a good idea.
What we're going to do, we're going to throw out early, and you guys can tweet us. Bosek, I want to start with you. And the question's going to be pretty simple. If there was a piece of sports memorabilia that you would want, or sports anything, whether it's a ticket to a certain game, under your Christmas tree,
that you want Santa to bring,
what would that be? What do you want Santa Claus to bring to the Bosek household?
Whoa.
I wasn't ready for this curveball.
I could have given you the other question, too.
Hey, man, you gotta stand in there and swing away, Bo.
One thing about being in the media, be ready. Just be ready.
See, this is the earliest Bosek has ever been called on in the podcast. He usually zones out for a good 30 minutes and then.
That's true. I was trying to catch him while the coffee was still kicking in.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to you, Bosek. Yeah, Think about that for a second.
Good.
I actually posed the question to you guys. Sports memorabilia, and I said leave out the team winning a championship, because I think all of us want to see Atlanta win a championship.
Right.
Yeah. But if there was something that could be under your tree and you could hang up, what would that be?
It'd be my Falcon Super Bowl ring, right? No, we already said that would be out. You know, it is a tough question to answer because I think there are so many options out there.
Mm-hmm.
For me, being a big boxing fan, I'd want something from like a like a Mike Tyson or a Vander Holyfield or Muhammad Ali. That. So I'm going to go with like a signed boxing glove autographed by Mike Tyson, Vander Holyfield, Muhammad Ali.
That would be awesome.
And Lennox Lewis. That's my boy, Lennox Lewis. So
really?
Those four. Like Lennox Lewis? Love Lennox. I love watching him fight, man.
The big man.
I'm going to hit you with a bloody left.
Yeah.
A bloody. For me, you know what? I'm kind of in that same realm of I never got to see Jordan play. Mm-hmm. So I would love, like, not just any particular signed Jordan shoe, but, like, the shoes he had on when he crossed up old guy from, Utah.
Oh, from Utah.
Yeah.
Byron
crossed
Russell.
Him up. Yeah, Byron, there it is. Crossed him up. I want those shoes signed.
Mm.
That would be my, if I could have an ultimate Christmas gift, that would be it.
I guess for me.
Everybody remembers that.
I guess for me, and it, surprisingly, it wouldn't be anything Miami Hurricane related. I've got a lot of stuff like, stashed away in boxes.
That's rare.
There's a picture, and I printed a picture. I found this online when the Heat beat San Antonio in Game 7. LeBron hits a jumper with about 30 seconds left to put him up 4 and really clinch it. Put him up 6 and clinched it. The entire picture's in black and white except LeBron's in color shooting the jumper. I'd love to have that picture signed by the 15 guys that were on the Miami Heat.
Nice.
Get that in a nice, you know, I don't know, 20 by 24 and have that framed and put that up there.
Well, you said it wasn't going to be Hurricane, but we knew it was going to be something Miami related.
Something.
So we're getting away from Miami.
I'm surprised you didn't say, like, Larry Coker's embalming.
I want Al Golden's tie.
I knew that.
Like voodoo. Just leave that and keep all the bad spirits away.
That's right.
Well, the bad spirits finally left the Falcons. Bosek, are you ready?
Oh, Bosek, you can't
that was a good segue, and I hate to ruin it, but he was looking like they're not going to come back to me.
John's going away with that.
I was going to come back to you eventually.
I was brainstorming. This was a very out there idea and gift. Might not ever happen.
Bosek's going to hockey.
Yeah, no. Chicago Bulls, basketball.
Yeah.
Game-winning three-pointer shot by Jimmy Butler in, like, a championship signed by him and maybe the whole team.
Jimmy Buckets.
You know, the problem is, as long as you have Man Bun on your team, you're probably never going to win anything.
Wow.
Come on.
Just because he's from Florida, man, that's what it is.
Joe brings a heart to the Chicago Bulls.
He does. I give him that. He's a hard player. He's tough. He does all of that good
stuff. And angry.
How about that Horace Grant, too, right? Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Bill Cartwright?
He's still there. The last time I paid attention to the Bulls. But okay, let's go.
I think it's the last time most people paid attention to the Bulls. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll move on because people were paying attention on Sunday as the Falcons finally.
Segway's mean.
Get off the schneid. And I can tell you, and Jay, you were down there. Bosek, you were down there. Shock, I know you were getting ready for the postgame show. A sense of relief is probably the best way to put it as this team breaks the losing streak. They knock off Jacksonville 23-17. And guess what? You're now at 500. You're 7-7. And you get to go into the holidays really feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, this did a lot for your confidence, I think. And it didn't matter if it was a 30-point win or a 6-point win like it was. Because it was a close game, you had to grind it out a little bit. I think it does so much to get that monkey off your back. 6 straight losses it's like you're in quicksand. It's like the harder you try to get out of that quicksand, the deeper and deeper you go. I think that's a reference from The Replacements.
Okay.
But still a very good reference here because I think that it really applied in this situation. You know, one thing that I noticed immediately, and I came back up and tweeted it out afterwards, is during pregame when this team was out on the field doing their stretching, doing their warm-ups, all that stuff, there was a fire that I hadn't seen all year. Like, I really felt like what had been preached all week as far as, you know, bring the juice. We heard that all week. Bring the juice and celebrate with one another. You know, make it fun out there. Really kind of came to fruition. And I think from start to finish, this team brought the intensity that they needed to bring. So at the end of it, I'm not surprised that this team came out with a victory because they looked set up that way during pregame.
One thing that I noticed watching the game was I always got a lot of talk. People always asking, is Coach Quinn the guy for this job? Is he still the guy that can get this team and his organization turned around? And I pointed straight to this game and said, this is the game that shows you that he can get players, any type of player, any situation, get the guys playing and doing really well. I thought, like you just mentioned, nobody could see that, what you saw, especially before the game, the fire, the intensity the guys had before the game, and you could just feel it was going to be a little bit different. And that starts with Coach Quinn. From day one, he's been the guy that's been illustrating, this is how we're going to play, this is how we're going to go out and perform each and every week. We're going to play with that championship mind frame every single game. You've been on a six-game losing streak, and you still can motivate your guys to play at a high level. I thought that was great to watch. And then also, I thought the Falcons exercised some of those demons from that six-game losing streak where you were turning the ball over, you were not scoring points, you were, you weren't getting the ball down. When you got in the red zone, you weren't scoring touchdowns. You were able to do that on the first drive. I mean, the first drive of the game was, this is what we're about. And I thought what you did on the first drive of the game and what you did on the last drive of the game is what this team is really about. And that last drive, especially the way they went down and all those key third downs that they end up coming up with, defense finishing the game. And that's the other thing is the last six games, you haven't finished at the end. Mm-hmm. You've been in every one of them. Mm-hmm. I think there was a crazy stat like, the Falcons have been played in 9 one-score games over the season, yep. And you had a chance to finish. And now you're in a position where what Coach Quinn really preaches is he wants to be a very good defensive team, and his defense was on the field at the end of the game, and they won the game at the end of the game for you. So I was extremely excited to see them exercise those demons from that six-game losing streak.
You know, one of the things I liked is it was different guys getting opportunities and actually making plays. Kamal Ishmael starting because William Moore's out on injured reserve for the rest of the year. He comes up with the biggest play of the game, without a doubt. You know, Jacksonville at minimum is going to kick a field goal. They mm-hmm. get the ball to start the second half. They ultimately scored a touchdown there. He takes that from at minimum 3 for Jacksonville to 3 the other way. Next time, high step a little bit, Kamal. But that's neither here nor there. We'll give you a little mess for that. But either way, a great play that he makes. You have him making plays. You have Justin Hardy in the fourth quarter when you just talked about Shaq needing third down after third down. Matt Ryan may be finding some confidence in the young kid and saying, I can trust you on a 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 6 to get you the ball quickly because they're bringing pressure, and him coming up with some big catches. I saw Tyler Starr on special teams, and I know he's a kid that's been pressing and fighting and doing everything to make a roster. He was out there trying to hurt people.
Yeah.
You could see he was like, well, I actually get to go out and hit somebody finally that's wearing an opposite jersey. That's what you're going to see these last couple of weeks, and I love the fact that they did so yesterday.
And another guy you can add to that is Stupar, stepping in and playing yep. really well. You heard his name being called a lot. You've seen him all over the field create havoc. And just to add a little bit to what you talked about with Justin Hardy is I think until that last drive, he hadn't had a catch all day. Mm-hmm. And this is a rookie. This is a guy who's used to catching.
Yeah, about 18 a game.
He's used to having a rock in his hand. And I think he's showing some maturity as well to stay in it, to stay focused. To you never know when your time's going to be called. And his time was called in a critical moment, and he came up big on that last drive. So, like I said, kudos to Justin Hardy for being there when your team needs you. And it goes straight to what you talked about with all these guys. When their time comes, they make the play with it. When Coach Quinn gets asked all the time, you're missing some key guys, how do you feel about so-and-so being in the game? You say, they're on this 53-man roster, we believe in them, and we know they can get the job done. And that's exactly, in that critical moment, they found him.
I think one of the big key points here is that you look at some of the players that John just mentioned, you look at Justin Hardy, you look at Tyler Starr. I think if you're one of those people who may not have a ton of faith in Dan Quinn right now, which is just, I can't even comprehend that,
yeah.
But I think you have to look at some of these guys and say, okay, one of the strengths of this coach is developing players. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that the Falcons maybe didn't do so much of the last couple of years is developing their own.
Yeah.
Okay, you're always looking for free agency or looking for draft, and you're not able to develop that talent. Developing that talent, which is why you're seeing so many moves on the practice squad lately, mm-hmm. right? Under Mike Smith, you didn't see a ton unless there was an injury, but these guys are constantly evaluating. We've talked about this before on this show. I think when you get to the point where you are looking at your practice squad, and they literally call these guys Plan B,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is the Plan B team, Plan B guys, and you are active, very active in developing them, I think that ultimately ends up paying dividends. When you get to this point where their number is called and they're out there making plays, I think it's a product of the coaching staff putting that work in. And we would see, I know you guys aren't here on Friday afternoons after practice, Dan Quinn spends 20 minutes with Tyler Starr going through drills. And should we wave to Kane?
Yeah, I think my son's back there playing Kane's a video game.
Hi, Kane.
Hey, Kane.
He's
just singing to himself.
Yep. But, yeah, for those of you listening, if you're hearing a child's voice, right. Your house is not haunted. There is a child in the back of the room.
And yes, his name is Kane.
And his name is Kane.
Yes.
Not like the wrestler either.
No. Right. But I think that you look at the time that this coaching staff has put into developing some of these guys and bringing them along through this development program, which is very hands-on, significant.
He just got the look from Dad.
Bosek's like... Bosek.
I give a
point. He looked up like, what?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. He's like, go get me some more donuts, Dad.
Yeah. I guess that's my point.
I think just to add a little bit to the special teams part of it is they count on these guys just as much as the active guys to get those guys ready and prepared. So mm-hmm. if you have somebody who's not giving your all, you don't think can really compete on this level, he won't be on the practice squad. Right. I know a lot of people look at practice squad as guys who don't make it or not good enough. These guys are right here. Like you said, the plan B. Those guys are the next man up and ready for whoever somebody at this spot goes down. So I think those guys are just as important as, you know, the guys who are on the active roster.
You know, one of the things, you can look at some of the successful teams around the NFL, what they do really well. New England is constantly churning through their mm-hmm. roster and bringing guys in. Green Bay is phenomenal with homegrown talent. I think it was like 46 of their 53 were guys that they drafted and developed. I mean, you saw the kid in Allen Hurns. He was an undrafted kid for Jacksonville. He's able to come in and make some big plays. I mean, that's what you have to do to be a successful franchise and not be, you know, and I don't want to say one-hit wonder, but we've seen teams in the NFL that have that one great year and then all of a sudden they fall off for 6 or 7. You want to get back to being a team that consistently is there, consistently is in the playoffs, consistently is making that push to win a division. Carolina for a little bit, you can start to say that now. 3 straight division championships, they're doing a really good job keeping their own and bringing in some fringe free agents and not overpaying. Pittsburgh's also done that for decades where they've done a great job.
One thing that also that I failed to mention from this last game versus Jacksonville is we saw the balance on offense. There was 33 runs and 35 passes in the game. That's mm-hmm. what you call balance. And I know you look at the rushing stat, and it doesn't look like gaudy numbers or big numbers from that you used to see in 150 yards, but you ran the ball when you had to. You ran the ball when you needed to. Mm-hmm. That's what balance is all about. It's not about having the big numbers. Sometimes, yeah, that matters. That, you know, sometimes it's good. But when you're able to run the football when you need to, pick up those hard-earned yards, and sometimes 3-4 yards are big on first mm-hmm. and second down, mm-hmm. so that you're not in those third and long situations. So if you're able to run the football at any time you want to pick up a key 3rd and 2 by running the football, those are what you call great plays on offense. Those makes your offense pretty balanced.
And, so I thought that's pretty good. And you chip away, you know, at the defense a little bit. You keep them honest, and then you're able to hit some of those longer passes that we saw the Falcons hit yesterday or on Sunday. But I think one of the points, too, that I want to bring up is just how hard Devontae Freeman fights.
Yeah,
and how
for every
effort that he puts in. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago when we used to see like 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, and we're like, oh, are we going to get this?
you almost wanted 3rd and 5.
Yeah. So, you know, but you see Devontae, he's able to convert a lot of those. I mean, I look at that last drive. I think the last offensive drive for the Falcons was huge, and I think that's something we could definitely talk about here. You get the ball with like 8 minutes, 30 seconds left, and you take it inside the 2-minute warning. That's efficiency. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to get 7 points out of it at the end of it. But I thought the way you're sitting there 3rd and 19 and you throw a little screen pass to Devontae and he does all the work, gets you the first down.
Yeah.
Of course, there's flags on the field, so that nullifies the whole shooting match there. But I mean, just the effort that this kid puts in, I think always is going to give you a chance, and it's always going to keep defenses honest because they've got to pay attention to him. So the more you go to him, mm-hmm. I think the better off you're going to be overall offensively.
One thing from an X's and O's standpoint that I saw during the game was throughout the year we've seen Shanahan moving Matt around a lot, you know, bootleg, rolling out all different type of ways. And I thought in this particular game, they changed the game plan up a lot. There was a lot of more bootleg to the right. Mm-hmm. There was the half roll that they used a lot that allowed him to have a little bit more time to throw. It wasn't him all the way moving, but it was them moving the pocket. And I thought that was a good job of Matt and Shanahan probably getting on the same page and say, hey, this is some of the things that I like to do. And Shanahan said, okay, we're not going to go completely away from moving you, but we're going to find ways to get you comfortable. And I thought they did that throughout the entire game, and I think it helped this offense, gave Matt more time away from the line of scrimmage to find guys, those deeper routes down the field. People wanted to see them pushing the ball down the field. I thought they did a good job of that. And I just like that they tried something different. They just didn't stick to what, you know, they were used to doing and just say, hey, we're going to force feed it into Matt. We're going to force feed it into this offense. They went out and they had a really solid game plan that will work for this offense and these players, and it really showed up on Sunday.
And you get to take that momentum now, come back home and wrap up the regular season with two games against division rivals that, let's just be honest, there's no love lost when Carolina or New Orleans comes to town.
Nah.
If you're a fan out there and you're upset about the season, bring your butt to the stadium on Sundays. I mean, come on. Don't sell your tickets to these all of a sudden brand new Carolina fans that have popped up out of nowhere. Don't give them to the hoodats. We sure as heck don't need them in here after New Year's. Come to the stadium.
Yeah.
It's the last two games of the regular season. Maybe we get the Christmas miracle. Maybe we get to, if nothing else, ruin Carolina's 14-0 start.
Yeah. I think that's huge. That's key. You're coming off this. It was grueling, a three-game road stint that, you know, you got all that travel and everything. It'll be good to get some of that home support because you know that the Panthers fans are going to come down 85, and they're going to be there and they're going to be representing. I think you've got – I don't know that – even after you lost the way you lost in Carolina, I don't know that you would want it any other way right now if you're a football player. You got your butts handed to you 2 weeks ago. They're coming off a game that they grinded out and ultimately won. We're coming off a game where we got the monkey off our back. We've got some confidence. Now you've got a chance to keep your own hopes alive. You've got to do your part in this in this thing and end this streak. And I think as a football player, if you can't get up for that, you don't belong here. And if you're a fan and you can't get up for that, you need to take up golf or something because this is not for you.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, and the momentum is on both teams. Both teams went out and got a big win. Obviously, the Falcons needed it just as much as anybody else, but I think coming into this ball game, there's so many different dynamics to this game that can, like you said, get up for. If you can't get up for this, there's no need for Coach Quinn to have any motivationals. There's no speeches need to be made. This is a game in your own building playing against a team that's worked so hard to get to this point. And if you can knock them off and cut that streak right now, it does so much more for your season. I know it started really well, and you know you had your downslide, but now you're in a position where you can really make your season and have a positive note going into the offseason if you don't get the Christmas miracle. But there is so many great things to be really looking forward to in this game. And I'm excited to see how this team comes out because like you mentioned, this is the divisional game that matters.
Yeah.
It matters. And like you mentioned, you got to do your job first.
Right.
You're worried about everybody else, but if you do not take care of your own business, it does not matter.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll take this and say this about the team on Sunday. Nobody was talking about playoffs. And I know that's more for media to speculate. These guys were just happy they picked up a win. They were, you know, Julio was on with Arch doing the post-game stuff. He was the Solomon Brothers player of the game on the CW and on 92.9. And, you know, Arch asked him about it. He said, I'm just looking forward to the next game. I'm looking to move on to the next one. And you talked about the tape. How easy is it for Carolina? You walk in, you slide in a DVD or you put on the iPad of, you know, Josh Norman, Starlo Tulele, Luke Kuechly, Cam Newton, you had Ted Ginn celebrating on you. Yeah. That's all that needs. You pop that tape in, and if you have any pride about yourself, guys go, all right, that we crap can't happen again.
And that's another reason why I was excited about how this team came out. Like we mentioned, the week before, you got embarrassed. Everybody, it was shown all over the place. Everybody's talking about Carolina just completely embarrassed you, 38-0, and you come out and you put together a good performance on the road. You lose what you had last week, and now you get a chance to play them again. And you get to play them, you know, turn around and play them 2 weeks later, and that taste is still in your mouth.
Right.
I guarantee you, as a player in that locker room over there, those guys still can taste 38-0 getting embarrassed by Carolina and you being another notch on that belt. Now you get them at home, you got a chance to rectify that. And most teams, if you lose 38-0, that's just what it is. You don't get to see that team again or you don't get to play them again. You got to live with that for a whole year till you possibly play them again. You get to play them 2 weeks later in your own place. So I think this is one of the better moments of the season for this team to show up and show exactly what they're about. Now, I expect this to be a down-to-the-wire game, very, very competitive game with Carolina.
I don't expect it to go the way that it went a couple of weeks ago. I really think that this is going to be a game that's going to have a lot of juice to it.
Yeah.
We'll continue to use that word. I think there's going to be a lot there for the Falcons. If you cannot get up for this game, I mean, just don't even bother showing up because
you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, it's a chance to end this amazing streak, which, all due credit to the Panthers. I mean, they've
17 straight regular season games they've won.
It's really, really incredible.
This is a chance to be a part of history, man.
Yeah.
You got to shut it down.
They're out for history right now. You can be the team that said Carolina was playing so well, 14-0. You thought everybody's saying they got, the Falcons and Tampa left or whoever.
That's the thing is, and they've already mailed it in. Yeah. They've already said, we're gonna go undefeated. I mean, I think you can't count us out. You can't count the Bucks out, and you just got to hope that we
I
get
love
it done.
To be on that team and say I ended their streak. You know?
I mean, think about it. In the NFL, what do you remember for all these teams? The Giants are known right now as the Giant Killers because they end the Patriots streak that 1 year. They play Carolina down to the wire this past weekend. I think a lot of people just look at New York and say they've got the DNA to take people. They beat Denver back in 98 when the Broncos started 13 or 14-0. People remember the 84 Dolphins or the 85 Dolphins for beating the Bears. You become the team that people remember if you're able to knock off a team that's had a great streak like this. So you don't want to be a footnote on the way to 16-0. Right. You want to be the team that people start to talk about when they go 15-1.
And I really think the key to this game, after watching the first game and suffering through the first game, the key to this game is you have to keep up with this team offensively. You have to. They're going to score points. I mean, Cam is feeling it right now, and he's just delivering passes like completely effortlessly. You have to be able to put something together offensively against a very good defense and keep stride with them because they are going to score their points. You've got to be able to fight back on the scoreboard. It can't just be this, situation where you're hoping for a big play here or big play there. You have got to be able to string together the kind of drives that we saw in Jacksonville against this defense, which is much better than what Jacksonville has. But I really think that is the biggest key to this game is just making sure that you're efficient offensively.
Now, one of the things to talk about with Carolina is what happened this past weekend against the New York Giants. And Josh Norman, I mentioned this a week ago, he is an agitator. Mm. He's a guy that's talking from the time he gets off the bus he's yapping through the media all week. He's trying to get under receiver's skin.
He even talked crap to me and one of our photographers.
You told me this on the bus yesterday.
I saw on the Falcons website with I think might have been Julio, might have been mic'd up, or Josh. I saw it somewhere where him and Julio go at it, and Julio gives him a little nudge, and he's instantly in his face. Oh, that's the kind of day it's going to be, and he's instantly just chat. And after a while, it starts to agitate you, like you said, and it's all about being able to keep composure. And obviously, what happened this past weekend with him and
ODB.
ODB was pretty unfortunate, but he's just one of those players who's like Cam. He's feeling himself. He's feeling the hype.
And
everybody's talking
it right
about
now.
He's playing really good. I mean, we can't take that away from him. But that's the thing about it is he's playing with that type of confidence, so he feels I can say whatever I want.
See, but this is where I want Julio to come out and just be Julio.
Yeah,
be the Julio that came out when Patrick Peterson called you out last year.
Just demolish it.
You are completely capable of doing that. I don't think Josh Norman is some super cornerback that cannot be beat. He's been beat before. I think Julio is the guy.
Beckham beat him. I mean, Beckham was beating him.
Yeah, of course. So I really think that if you're Julio, if you're the Falcons offense, you can't look at that guy as some monster that we've got to completely stay away from. You've got to attack him, and you've got to chip away at his
confidence.
Here's
the thing that makes him makes him who he is. He's aggressive. He does a good job with his hands. He does a good job of being physical at the line of scrimmage, and he can close on the football. That's one thing that makes him a really good cornerback, and along with having long arms and all that, and can read stuff and understands what a receiver, what an offense is trying to do towards him. And those things make you good. So I think those are things that you have to use against him as well. And I remember was watching some of the clips of the game, and I think the Giants used a couple double moves in the game. They used some stuff to get him isolated where ODB can get off. So I think some of those things are going to be part of the game plan. But ultimately, I like Julio one-on-one without double moves, without anything. I think he can beat him in that kind of fashion.
Well, here's the issue with everything you just said, and that's great, and I believe you can do all of that.
Yep.
Jake Matthews, Chris Chester, Andy Levitre, Mike Person, Ryan Schrader, this game's on them.
Yeah.
Period. Starlo Turele and Kawan Short won. Yeah. I'm not going to talk bad about our guys. They won. Period. They dominated.
A couple sacks by Kawan Short last game.
You want any chance to make and do the double moves and take shots, you have to protect Matt Ryan. You have to be able to give Devontae Freeman some type of balance. Might not do 33-35 like he did against Jacksonville. You've got to run the ball probably 30 times and pass it 36.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to get into a 45 pass game against this team.
No.
You've got to be able to eat clock. You've got to be able to play their game a little bit. I put this squarely on the five guys up front.
The best thing about playing at home against a defense like Carolina is you're able to communicate better. I think in Carolina there was some miscommunication at times because Carolina likes to get up there and get in those double A gaps. They like to move guys around and try to cause confusion up front. And I think at times when things are happening so fast, sometimes the miscommunication happens with the offensive line, and we saw that a couple times. But there's also going to be times where there's one-on-one. It's going to be times where it's man-on-man, and I got to move the pocket, or I got to move the line of scrimmage a yard or two so that we can get a couple yards running the football. That's where the game is going to be won, like you mentioned. If the offensive line wins, this, I think the Falcons had a great chance of being really successful on offense.
And if you use the Sunday's game as a blueprint for how you attack this game, because the win over Jacksonville was very much a win in the trenches for the Falcons on both sides of the ball.
Yeah,
the offensive line has absolutely got to protect Matt Ryan, but your defensive line has to get after Cam Newton. We mentioned this the week before we played them the first time. You have to make him uncomfortable in that pocket because he has so much confidence in himself, and he's a player that plays off of his confidence. You rattle that, you rattle him, you rattle their entire game plan. So you've got to be able to get those hits in, and you've got to be able to wrap him up when you get
that's
to
the
that.
Key.
I mean, he is so elusive. You have to listen to the veteran guys. You've got to listen to a guy like Jonathan Babineau when he says, do not attack him high.
Yeah.
Right.
Come after his legs. You have to. That's the only way you're going to bring a guy
like this. There's no
way
you can tackle a dude high. I mean, just
no.
If you look at just his padding.
I don't care who you are.
If you just look at the padding he has up top, it's hard to even get your hands around him, let alone try to bring him down upper body-wise.
But he's so strong, too, that he's able to push you away.
He can. It's going to be all about being disciplined in your rush lanes, making sure that, hey, you don't lose containment at times, because if you get pressure up the middle and then you lose containment, it doesn't matter. So you got to be able to – all guys have to do their own individual particular job. And if not, he's going to expose it because he knows exactly what a weak spot is. And like you said, he plays off that confidence. He plays off being able to move outside the pocket. That's how he won the game last week versus the Giants. Broke contain, got outside, ran for a first down. That kind of stuff fuels him. He's from Atlanta. He's going to come in here, and you know he wants to play good in Atlanta.
Yep.
He usually does, but you want him to come in here and not feel that comfort level that you talk about throughout the entire four-quarter game.
And another thing that I think is key in this game is if you are the two starting cornerbacks for the Falcons, you've got something to prove right now, because two games ago, Robert Alford had a little rough go of it in Carolina. This past week, Desmond Trufant had a rough go of it in Jacksonville. I think both of these guys are going to want to come out and prove something. Now, we saw something with Desmond last week that we haven't seen before, and that's him shadowing. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was shadowing 10 Ginn a bit. But these two guys want to come out, and they want to show that they can be one of the best tandems in the league. And, I think it's going to be key for them to get off the field on third downs and really kind of shut down that passing game.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And it's a game that I can't wait to see on Sunday afternoon, and hope you guys make it out there. As we do every time about this time, Bosek, you're back on the mic. It's time to break with Bosek.
Let's break with Bosa.
Yo. You need a graphic, theme music, and a sponsor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Austin said he was working on a graphic, but
you get like anything. Kit Kat, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
Actually, no. You. What were you? What was your ice cream bar of choice? The Haagen-Dazs.
Oh yeah, on the plane.
Oh yeah,
he's fancy.
He's all about the Haagen-Dazs. Oh,
he is. I'm getting the strawberry shortcake.
Yeah,
the Haagen-Dazs does it for him.
He goes, I've got to allow the Haagen-Dazs to defrost at a perfect temperature.
It was hard as a rock. I had to let it soften.
It's a method to the madness, right, mm-hmm. Bo?
All right, I heard this question. I don't know where it was. I heard it on TV the other day. Would you live in a submarine if the submarine was heading somewhere mysterious? So you didn't know where you were going. But you had to live on the submarine until you got to your destination.
No. There's no way. I'm a homebody. I just want to stay at home. So, no, I'm out.
What if it was to, like...
Don't care.
Got it.
Want to stay at home.
If you live on a submarine?
Yep.
If
how long am I living on a submarine? You have no idea?
I don't know. I'll say
you're going
week.
Somewhere mysterious.
A week.
It's a week-long trip on a submarine to...
A mysterious place?
Yep.
Sound like mystery. That's not mystery. I'm getting agitated just imagining this.
So the
scenario.
Thought of people being this close to you?
It's that. It's I don't know where I'm going. Well, I don't know what time I'm getting there.
I need a little bit more details. I know. I mean, I need like...
See, quarterback always wants details. He wants to know the coverage.
How many more people on there? Do I got good snacks? Do I get to...
Do I have my own satellite room?
TV or something? I mean, what's going on? I need some.
You're not gonna have satellite TV in a submarine. I don't think satellite.
Hey, look, man, they can find a way, man. They can find a way.
See, unlike those two,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree
for
with
a
you.
Week, yeah. First of all, I love the ocean. I grew up on the ocean. I was always here's a funny story. I actually was going to go to school for marine biology until I realized how much work that actually was. Because I wanted to work
same
in the
here.
Ocean. Yeah. I wanted to work in the ocean. I thought that would be awesome. Studying sharks
and
dolphins. You guys
are marine biologists on the side.
That's what we want. That's what I wanted.
So you stick me on a submarine and you just go, hey, we're gone for a week. I would probably go as far as about 3 weeks before I'd go stir crazy. Wow. Now, I'd have to do it away from football season. I'd have to do it in like July when there's no sports going on. But absolutely. Stick me out there. We'd have some fun.
Yeah,
take me to like Bora Bora.
I would do it.
You don't know where you're going.
I don't care.
You could be...
Take me to Tanzania. Take me to Iceland.
You do have the personality for that. That's definitely for you.
I'm an active guy. I don't know about that.
DJ and I will be on the... We'll be Netflix and chilling.
Yeah. We'll wait on you at this mysterious place, man.
I wanted to go on Survivor, except I eat too much, and I know I'd die out there. They'd be like, you got to eat tree bark. No. Do we have wings? Can I get their wings anywhere?
The good thing is we've got some...
Yeah, I've got some padding.
We've got some room to spare there.
Yeah. Bosek, what's up, man?
Would you go?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Easily.
It's an adventure. I would hope that we're going somewhere tropical, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere in Europe. I haven't been to Europe, so that'd be cool.
What if Australia, maybe?
Wake up and you're in Russia.
Russia. I was just gonna say. What if you end up in Russia?
Hey, awesome.
It's an adventure.
North Korea.
And it's minus 44 degrees. You're going to be like, oh, man, I waited 3 weeks for this.
Yeah, it's okay.
I went to school in Wisconsin,
right.
Lived in Chicago. I could deal with subpar temperatures.
Okay, yeah, you're used to it. Yeah. I am a southerner.
I'm all for it.
I don't want adventure in my life. I don't want any of that.
I ain't going to say that. See, I like adventure. I ain't going to say that now.
I got the heebie-jeebies already. If I could stay at home and just, like, dress in a muumuu every day just, like, sit around, that would be fine by me.
Although Bosek got to sit next to me a couple of times, I'm not good flying. He'll tell you.
Hell yeah. Back to back.
We hit those. I'm like.
Any kind of drop you.
Oh, I've got the,
clutching
I've
the
got,
sides.
Like, the cat claws in the back of the seat.
It was last week when we were on the way to Charlotte, right?
Yep.
And there was
the turbulence.
There was a noise.
No.
There was some noise. It sounded like one of the cases underneath the plane, because we travel with a lot of equipment cases. Mm-hmm. And one of the cases probably like fell or shifted or something like that, because we had and it had corresponded with a little bit of turbulence. And John's sitting in front of me. And I see him, like, grab on. And he turns around and looks at me and says, I've never heard that before. And so I look at him and I go, oh, me neither. And so I'm just playing up to him. But yeah, it was...
Yeah, he he turned to me and goes, "Oh, that sounded like a bolt came loose."
That sounded like a bolt.
He's laying this up. I'm looking out the window. I got the wing right there, and I'm like making sure there's nothing on the wing. And
it all of a sudden turned into, what was it, Tales from the Crypt? I'm like, dude, is there like an animal out there somewhere? What is going on?
I think one of the best
tweets. The nerves is amped up for you, John.
Yeah.
I think one of the best tweets I ever saw was a couple of years ago. There was this football player who tweeted out that every time there's turbulence on a charter plane, mm-hmm. everybody lifts up the window and looks out as yeah. if like a gorilla would be jumping on the plane.
That's true.
It's like, what do you expect to see when you're like, I don't know. It's just kind of funny. But it's,
I think the main thing is you want to look and make sure you're not going down. So,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. There are a lot of nervous flyers.
As if looking like you're going, okay, we're going down. Great. I don't want to know that we're going down.
We could do a whole show, I think, on charter flights.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of nervous flyers in the player section.
And I'm one of them.
Well, you're not a player. Too, man. You ain't a player.
Well, I ain't a player.
You ain't no player no more.
But you fly a lot.
You ain't no player. You fly a lot. You're right with that. All right, what do we have for video of the week? The video of the week just says Steve.
Steve.
All right, well,
now, if it would have said Steve-O, I would have known what we were getting into. Right. But just Steve.
Jack.
Right, I got two. I got one really quick one that is just a funny little gif I saw.
All right.
Okay. So here's that one real quick. Oh.
Nope.
There we go.
Nope.
All right. UFC fight.
Yep.
Cameraman.
Is this Steve or no?
Him. He points.
Hey, that's my buddy Cole Miller. I
he's looking at the
that's really funny.
He does like he's about to fight though.
that's my dude Cole Miller. He's
camera guy. Come on.
He lives in Macon, and so I worked in Macon for a while and I covered him quite a bit.
Can he get to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good fighter.
Okay.
Good fighter.
Too bad the cameraman had no idea what
camera
he was.
Guy had never heard
he
of
him. He went to the cut guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this one, a lot of buzz on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was watching football.
Yeah.
Sunday.
I know where you're going.
If it wasn't for the social media,
I know
Twitter,
Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Nobody would have known he messed up besides a small fraction.
Oh, no.
Because of social media.
No doubt.
This. One of you is about to become our new Miss Universe.
I'll be honest, I think he called it right the first time. It's just my opinion.
Her duties. The first runner up will take her place. Good luck to both of you.
How do you
Miss Universe 2015?
Isn't it
written?
Like I said, she should have won.
So, I actually have here's what the ballot looks like. So, you see the runner-up that you see over there to the right.
Oh, yeah. That's...
And it's written so small.
Right. I could see how you could make that mistake.
If you're trying to be so dramatic that you just look down at it.
I'll be honest, Columbia should have won, though. I mean, nothing against the girl from the Philippines. Okay. She's drop dead gorgeous, but Columbia.
The part I don't get is she stands up here, celebrating, waving, blowing kisses.
Yeah, that's tough.
For like 3 minutes before Steve says anything.
Yeah, where was his producer going? Dude, you messed up.
Yeah.
Stop this.
Look at his face right now. He's like, look at his face.
I would have quit. I would have just gone home.
There's. I have to apologize.
Look at her face. Look at her face.
People thought he was going to be funny here.
The first runner up is Columbia.
I don't know USA does.
She's like, what's going on? Oh, this is terrible.
This is hilarious.
Yeah.
I really, when I first saw this, I'm like, is Stone Cold
Miss
Steve Austin going to come out? Because this was like
a
WWE storyline.
This poor girl from Columbia.
She's like, is this mine? Like,
she's like, what do I do?
And then they take the crown off of
That's what's tough, is they take the crown off her head.
Give me that.
I'm sorry.
And supposedly, Columbia doesn't speak English, so she didn't really know, what she was saying.
What's that?
Columbia didn't really speak English, so when they were like doing everything, she didn't know what was going on.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wait, oh, no.
So she's like, why are you up here again?
What's going on? She's looking around right now.
Oh,
she's like, they stripped my crown already. What did I do? What the heck's going on here? Philippines has no idea what's going on.
This is just chaos.
Wow.
And this girl has...
they really say... They send this girl out there and they're like...
They let her be the bad one. Let's switch flowers, ladies.
Let me just take control of this.
Yeah, you do that,
this
Steve.
This is exactly what's on the card. I will take responsibility for this. It was my mistake. It was on the card.
See, that there were probably a lot of people who thought he was just kidding.
But the right thing, I can show it to you right here. The first runner-up is Columbia. It is my mistake. Still a great night. Please don't hold it against the ladies. Please don't.
You know, if that was me, I would be stuttering and stammering, and I'd have sweat pouring off of every part of my body. Poor Steve. He's trying to get the heck out of there.
And then he tweets an apology later on, and he spelled
Philippines wrong.
He spelled Philippines wrong and Colombia wrong.
Oh, both of them.
For real? My dude, Steve-O.
Oh, this poor girl from Colombia.
It's rough.
When I watched this the first time, my dad actually posted this on my wall last night, or a couple nights ago, whatever it was, and he said, video of the week. And it worked out perfectly. Great video of the week.
That's awesome.
And I could not stand watching it. It was just so awkward. And
that is awkward. That is tough.
I just feel so bad for the girl.
Maybe I'm heartless.
Jim, thanks.
Yeah. Maybe I'm heartless, but I think that's pretty funny, to be honest with you.
Jim Spear, man.
I feel terrible for the girl from Colombia. Yeah, it stinks, and it's awkward. I get you. It's not the
people are so awful on Twitter, man.
They are.
The man made a mistake.
Right.
Everybody's made a mistake. It's unfortunate, but...
Keyboard thugs.
They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They always lurking.
All right, finally, if I have to follow that up, picks to click. Here's how we finished up last week. DJ Shockley had Vic Beasley.
Do not say what Bosek has up here.
Unlike Steve Harvey, I proofread.
I did not have a... Bosek put up goose egg for me, but Bosek. I count pressures, so they should count as, like, something...
Bosek had Desmond Trufant, who had three tackles.
Oh, you just sitting back just waiting for your moment. A
couple of pass interference. I thought I had the win in the bag in the fourth quarter because Robert Alford actually played pretty well. Had a couple of pass deflections, some good coverage. I'm sitting on the sideline like, yeah, doing the cabbage patch or whatever dance this was. And then Jay Adams' guy, Justin Hardy, comes up with three catches, three third-down conversions on one stinking drive.
One drive.
He was Mr. Clutch yesterday, Sunday, and it was awesome. Thank
Speech?
You, Justin.
Speech, yeah, you like his coming out.
Not yet.
I was just saying,
you want to talk about excitement, okay? This, how this race is going to finish up is very interesting.
So you guys just saw the graphic. Bosek, DJ, and Jay are all tied with four wins apiece. I have two wins apiece. With two games to go. So like the Falcons.
There's a chance.
There is a chance.
One loss by you, though. Or one win for anybody else.
Yeah.
You got what? Math.
I don't have much of a chance.
25%?
Less than that.
I don't know.
Like 8%.
You've got a 25% chance of winning this week.
All right, Jay. Well, you get to go first since you won this week. You take it.
All right. I'm going back to the well with Justin Hardy.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Wow.
Shock. Bosek, you guys pick who goes. I'll go last.
Boat, you can go, Boat. Go ahead.
DJ,
go ahead.
You got it.
Oh, man. Oh, well, that was an... It was an emergence from my boy. I'm going back to my boy.
Oh.
8-4?
8-4, man. Come on, baby. I need you. Some emergence. Come on, baby. That's big catches. I need you, 8-4.
I love how we've all taken offense
or we all
2 weeks after we didn't score a point against this team.
Go ahead, Bosek.
Ricardo Allen.
Are you taking my guy who won for me a couple of weeks ago?
Ricardo Allen.
I am going to go on the defensive side of the ball. I think this guy has to have the best game he's had all year long. I need Durant. I need Durant.
Durant was my second choice.
He's going to have to cover some Greg Olsen.
A Durantula.
Yeah, he's going to have to, whoever they have at running back, Fozzie Whitaker, Fozzie Bear, Cameron Artis Payne. I need Durant to have a big game.
Big Tolbert.
Matter of fact, didn't he have the grill?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to pull my grill out. I'm going to wear that this week.
Yeah. Do that.
I'm going to get one like Shock had on Halloween. Do that one.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't have Kane make your pick for you.
Kane would have taken Matt Ryan.
Kane said, "Forget your rules." That's who I'm going with.
Kane's back there on an iPad. He's not concerned with picks to click.
All right, we got Hardy, Afo, Ricardo,
and Durant. Guys, have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Happy Hanukkah.
Wish you a Merry
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy
all that good stuff.
All of those.
Whatever it
things.
May be. We'll see you guys on Sunday at the Dome. Let's kick
be
some
there.
Panther rear
Get rear there end. Early. Make some noise.
That was like Wild Thing Williams.
Oh, Kane!